Welcome to Torah Imecha, Nach Yomi with the OU Women's Initiative. My name is Shira Hochheimer, and today we will be studying Yirmiyahu, Chapter 17. In the last parak, Hashem told Yirmiyahu not to marry, have children, or participate in his neighbor's life cycle events. People will question Yirmiyahu's strange actions, which will give Yirmiyahu the opportunity to explain them and the impact of their choices to live in ways that are against the Torah. They would hear once again that everything that is happening to them is by Hashgacha Pratis, done by Hashem with precise intentions. This parak continues with themes brought up in the last parak. It discusses the root causes for the Korban and the importance of believing that Hashem controls the world. The parak begins by telling us that the sins of Yehuda are pervasive and not easily forgiven. They are compared to something written with an iron pen with a diamond point. Charusha aluach libam ulekarnos mizbechos eichem, engraved on the tablet of their hearts and on the horn of their altars. This writing cannot be erased. It is found in the depths of the heart, which signifies their desires, as well as publicly on the protrusions of the mizbeach, which represents their actions, so it is visible for all to see. Yehuda is attached to their avodah zarah, verse 2. Kizkor b'neihem mizbechosam. As they remember their children, so do they remember their altars. Just like people share pictures and stories about their kids, that is how Yehuda talked about their avodah zarah. They were attached to them. They loved them. Hashem turns to these idolaters who think they are hidden. They sit up on a mountain away from people. Hashem knows all, and they will lose their material wealth as a punishment. Another part of their punishment happens to their land. Verse 4 says, Vishamatata uvacha minachlasecha asher nasati lach, and you shall let it rest, and I will avenge myself of you because of your heritage that I gave you. The pasuk uses a word that sounds like Shemitah. One of the reasons the nation is being punished is because they neglected Shemitah. Hashem gave the Jewish people a nachla, a special portion, and they didn't treat it properly, so now they need to leave the land. They will need to work foreign lands as slaves, as Hashem is angry with the work that they did in Hashem's land. All of the sins described in the first four psukim, from Avodah Zarah to working the land during Shemitah, stem from a lack of faith in the power of Hashem. The next few psukim contrast individuals who don't have bitachon with those who do. Verse 5 says, Arvor hagerer ver asher yiftach ba'adam. Cursed is the man who trusts in man. Visam basar zro'o, and makes flesh his arm, umin Hashem yasor libo, whose heart turns away from Hashem. The pasuk begins aror, cursed. This curse is a statement of fact. If a person relies on people exclusively, with no reliance on Hashem, no curses are necessary. Living with that kind of mindset makes a person's life miserable. There are three levels to the lack of bitachon that qualifies a person as aror, cursed. First, the person trusts in people. People like to trust other people as they feel more in control. We do this. People will trust in politicians, while the politicians are really trusting in their armies, and the army is trusting in the generals. No one is truly trustworthy or reliable. After relying on man, the pasuk says that the second stage is making flesh his arm. This means that the people rely on their tools to be successful. This could be their physical strength or their intellectual strength. They rely on their arm, forgetting that every arm, any tool we have, only moves with the strength that Hashem gives it. The last step is that people turn away from Hashem. It is not a big problem to rely on other people. People are vehicles through which Hashem's will gets realized. Their curse comes when people only rely on people and their tools and don't include Hashem at all in their calculations. This person who relies only on people is ka'ar barava, like a lone tree in a desert. This tree may look stable, and it can even survive a long time, but there is no way it will ever benefit from any good that comes to the world, as it has isolated itself from the source of all good. At this time, Yehuda wanted to rely on other people as a source of their security rather than Hashem. Ashur, which was the regional superpower, is disintegrating. There is a vacuum as to who will control the region. Babel wants to be that power. Yehuda allies themselves with Ashur and Mitzrayim to stop them. In contrast, there is the person who relies on Hashem. As we say in Birkas HaMazon, verse 7, Baruch HaGever Asher Yiftach BaHashem, V'haya Hashem mivtacho. Blessed is the man who trusts in Hashem. Hashem shall be his trust. The last pasuk said, cursed is the person who relies on another person. The opposite of relying on a person should be not relying on a person. Instead, our pasuk praises those who rely on Hashem. Human beings are interdependent beings. It is not a sin to trust another human being if we recognize that everyone is a messenger of Hashem. The Metzudas David explains what it means that Hashem is the Mivtach, the trust. Hashem is a person's Mivtach, his trust. He can be trusted in proportion to the degree that the person trusts in Hashem to save him. So as much as a person relies on Hashem, that is how much Hashem will be the one who will take the responsibility for whatever is happening. This Baal Bitachon, this man of faith, is compared in verse 8, K'she'etz shasul almayim, like a tree planted by the water. The tree has an ever-present water supply, just like this Baal Bitachon is constantly being helped by Hashem. Just like water feeds every part of the tree, when a person has bitachon, they get help in all that they do. A Baal Bitachon doesn't need to be worried about external heat. He is blessed with an internal way to deal with troubles. Just like a tree is always blooming, whether there is drought or rain, a person with bitachon has a neshama that is sustained even when it is a challenging spiritual time. He will be able to keep doing mitzvos and learning Torah even when it is hard. Verse 9 is a response to a question that isn't stated explicitly in the text. The people hear the blessing and the curse and wonder why are they not eligible for the blessing. Surely they have bitachon. Hashem responds, verse 9, Akov halev mikol va'anush hu mi yeda'enu. The heart is deceitful above all things, and when it is sick, who will recognize it? Hashem points out that their soul and hearts are actually very sick because they don't actually have bitachon. They may act publicly like they believe in Hashem, but Hashem, who knows their innermost thoughts, knows the truth about what they feel. The primary place where bitachon lives is in the hearts and the minds. Hashem says that He is choker lev bochen klayos. He searches the heart and tests the kidneys. He can tell where a person's motives lie. Hashem treats each person kidrachav, kifri malalav, according to his ways, based on what he is inclined to do, and then based on what he actually does. In verse 11, Hashem continues to respond to questions about how come people aren't being blessed since they clearly have bitachon. In verses 9 and 10, Yirmiyahu talks about the bitachon a person feels in his heart. In verse 11, he talks about what actions show a lack of bitachon. Yirmiyahu gives the mashal of a bird called a dagar. This dagar, this bird, sits on other birds' eggs and raises them after they hatch. As soon as that chick grows up, it sees that the bird is not its mother and it leaves. Wealth is the same way. People who don't have bitachon, it leads them to cheating and stealing so that they have find ways to get rich without having to rely on Hashem. But really, it's not their money. So it's going to leave them just like the chicks leave the mother because it doesn't actually belong to that bird. In verse 12, Hashem switches to a new explanation for the upcoming punishment and why Yehuda is not blessed. Yehuda had access to Hashem and his Kisei HaKavod, which is called Maro Mirishon. Hashem's throne of glory was one of the first seven things created, says the Radak, before the creation of the world. It was in the Mekom Mikdashem, in their holy place. They had access to Hashem. He led them with Hashkacha Pratis, with divine intervention, and they didn't take advantage of the opportunity. It was their responsibility to use the Beis HaMikdash and their access properly, and they did not. Hashem, who is always available, is called the Mikveh Yisrael. There are two meanings for this phrase. Hashem is the source of hope, meaning Hashem can be relied on. Also, Hashem is the mikvah. He purifies the Jewish people from sin, which is the experience that we discuss on Yom Kippur. If we rely on Hashem as our mikvah, as our hope, or as our purifier, we end up okay. Those who turn away from Hashem may be successful for a bit, but in the end, they will be embarrassed and suffer. They have abandoned Hashem and His Torah, the source of life, the Makor Mayim Chayim, the fountain of living waters. In verse 14, Yirmiyahu once again turns to Hashem with a personal request. He just shared a negative nevuah, which is sure to make people upset. He has told them there will be no Beis HaMikdash, and they are not as holy as they think they are. Yirmiyahu davens, not for physical healing, but for his spiritual state. He realizes the people around him have fooled themselves. He also might be fooling himself, and might be very spiritually ill. Only Hashem can heal him. Only Hashem can save him, and when he is saved, he will praise Hashem. This pasuk is the basis for our bracha for healing that we say in Shmona Esrei. Yirmiyahu says, "Rifaeni Hashem ve'irafe, hoshieni ve'ivashea, ki sihilasi ata. Heal me, Hashem, then I shall be healed. Help me, then I shall be helped, for you are my praise." Rav Schwab explains that Yirmiyahu is saying that if he is healed, he will not praise the doctor or the medicine. He will realize that it is Hashem who saved him. This request is not for physical health, but for spiritual health. As we have seen in this parak, a person can think they have faith, but Hashem knows if they do not. Only Hashem can heal us from these spiritual maladies of our hearts, as we don't recognize our own character flaws. Rav Schwab says that all illness stems from the illness of the nefesh, of our soul, which we can delude ourselves into not recognizing that we are sick. We reach out to Hashem to heal us and save us, as we have no one else who can help us. In this bracha in Shmon Esrei, we daven that Hashem should heal us from the lack of bitachon that existed in Yirmiyahu's time as well. Yirmiyahu is also turning to Hashem, as the people are cynical about whether he is a true Navi or not. In verse 15, they say, "Ayei Dvar Hashem, Yavona, where is the word of Hashem? Let it come now." Yirmiyahu comes with a complaint. He never wanted the bad to come. He always davens that they shouldn't suffer. But now, because they doubt him, he wants them punished, as it seems like a chilul Hashem. He begs Hashem not to ruin him. So many people are accusing him. He was considered strange because he didn't get married. He doesn't share in the joys and the suffering of the community, and he says harsh things against people. But he still has his bitachon. So, verse 17, Machasiyata biyom ra'ah, you are my shelter on the day of evil. When his enemies plan to attack him, he is relying on Hashem that his bitachon will protect him. In verse 18, Yirmiyahu doesn't want his attackers to be physically hurt. He just wants them to be embarrassed so they do not hurt him. The Das Sofrim says that in this tefillah, Yirmiyahu focuses on himself, which can be seen by his use of the repeated use of the word I. Va'al evosha ani, let me not be embarrassed. Va'al echata ani, let me not be broken. He uses the word I not because he is self-centered, because he knows that he represents Hashem as a Navi. What happens to him reflects on Hashem. In verses 19 through 27, there is going to be a new nevuah, which begins with the words, Ko amar Hashem, so says Hashem. This nevuah offers a different avenue for redemption for the Jewish people. Hashem tells Yirmiyahu to go to the gates of Yerushalayim, where there have been issues with carrying in the public domain on Shabbos, to share this nevuah. He is supposed to first talk to the kings, who can monitor Shabbos observance from an enforcement perspective, and then talk to the whole nation. He should tell them that they should be careful about what they carry outside their homes on Shabbos. The laws of carrying on Shabbos are very complex, and Eruv only works in specific circumstances. Yirmiyahu is reminding the people to be very careful that they monitor where and when they carry. The observance of Shabbos is connected to the Geula and therefore can prevent galus. Chazal say that if the Jewish people kept two Shabbosos according to the halacha, the redemption would come. Shabbos demonstrates a belief that Hashem created the world and is involved in its running on a daily basis. It is the practical demonstration of emunah and bitachon, which is a source of blessing. Although the Jewish people may be sinning in other areas, if they keep Shabbos, they will be forgiven. In the past, their parents hadn't listened. Yirmiyahu tells the people they can choose to change and not carry in public, ulekadesh as yom haShabbos levilti asos bo kol melacha, to sanctify Shabbos, to make it holy, not to perform any work on it. If they make Shabbos holy, the dynasty of David will not stop. Foreigners will not come into the city, and the city of Yerushalayim will not be destroyed. People will come from all over once again to bring karbanos and to thank Hashem for the miracles. However, if they do not sanctify the Shabbos, and they continue to carry in ways that the halacha forbids, the city of Yerushalayim will be destroyed. In this parak, Yirmiyahu outlines why having bitachon, faith, is so important. Hashem takes care of people based on how they demonstrate that Hashem runs this world. One way we can show this is by being careful with the laws of Shabbos. Shabbos shows that we believe that Hashem created the world and continues to be involved in it every day of the week. Thank you for studying together, Le'ilui Nishmas, Riva Schwab, Rivka Bas Alexander Sender.